through the series, I've been meaning to ask, and we've been listening to a couple or hearing little excerpts from some people's stories, and we've got two people with a little bit of their story to share today. So Stuart, would you like to come up? It's a treat today, my word. When I first asked Stuart, I wasn't sure he'd say yes, because this isn't a place that you like to be that much, is it, up here?
Well, no.
No. Unlike me, who's dressed in bright orange. Stuart, I've got a few questions for you. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. So, easy one to start. Well, easy. How easy are they? What's one of the highlights of your involvement at PBC?
I've been involved with Te Papanui Trust, the trust that has been involved in developing the youth centre. And one of the highlights for me was having to be involved in the fundraising for that. And it seemed like a really, it was beyond us in terms of what we thought we could raise. But the doors just opened, St Paul's volunteered their land, and we had great support from council. And it was just great to see, I guess, God's hand in that and really developing through to the point that we managed to get in there with, very little debt. And that, in fact, was covered by a council low-interest loan. And then, more recently, obviously, seeing Jeremy and the team just do fantastic things there and really affecting the lives of young people for the good. You know, it's been great.
It's, again, I wasn't here for that early start, but being able to see the fruit of it and having Sean Tabry and Isaac and Jeremy still there, it's incredible. Thank you. Okay, this was just, if you're wondering how this goes, I have worked out questions with people beforehand so they don't have to be straight off the cuff. So have you thought about a key moment of faith in your life and how that has shaped what you believe today?
Well, I was brought up in a Christian home, and as part of that, I think sometimes you kind of wonder, am I only a Christian because of my upbringing? But there's been a few times which God has sort of, in a sense, been unmistakably there and real in my life. So one time was when Susan and I first came back to Papanui Baptist we'd been living up in the North Island for about 8 years. Our house hadn't sold in Palmerston North, and we ended up living with my parents with two very small boys. And that sort of started dragging on. And then the job I came down here to do hadn't really worked out. On a whim, I'd applied to Christ College to teach economics and accounting, which was somewhat bizarre because I wasn't a teacher. I'd studied economics and accounting some time before, but it really wasn't up to standard of teaching years 12 and 13. Unfortunately, I got the job. And that was a fairly stressful term. It was the last term of the year, so I had to come in and try and pick up where they were and somehow survive till the end of the year. And then just towards the end of the year, I found out that my old job in Palmerston North was still available. Had become available again. And I sort of thought, should we be going back there? What should we be doing? And it was a bit of a mess, really. You know, did God bring us down here only for us to go back? I rang my old boss back in Palmerston, and he said, yeah, you can come back. Just make sure you stay sort of more than 5 minutes, you know. So I came and saw the pastor at the time, Fraser Campbell, and I said, I want to put out a fleece. I want to say to God, if the house doesn't sell, our house in Palmerston North, within 2 days, because I had to make a decision, we're off back. And he encouraged me and said, yeah, of course God can sell a house. What are you worried about, you know? And, of course, the next day, a call came from the real estate agent. And for me, that was very much God. You know, like, I can't prove that to someone else, but just in the state I was in and, you know, wanting to make the right decision for the family, it was very much God behind that, yeah.
That's incredible. So that was the fleece. You didn't say, and if I stay a teacher down here, or?
Oh, I had about 5 jobs in an 18-month period. I was having a midlife crisis early, but we won't go there. Yeah.
So we often talk about mountaintop experiences in our faith, so places that we feel God is very close to us. What's a place that you have felt very close to God? And what do you think was holy about that?
Well, for me, it is the mountains, probably. I love to get up in the mountains, just admire God's creation from, you know, flowers that are amazing and wildlife through to the majesty of the mountains, and particularly actually the stars when you go outside at night and tramping hut and just see and you think, wow, you know, that must be God and he's just magnificent, you know.
Adam waxes lyrical and always wants to go with you guys when you go out as well. Maybe one day, Adam. Some of you will remember a few weeks ago we were praying for Susan, who is Stuart's wife. Some of you may not have known Susan, but she's here today, which is wonderful. We prayed for her because she was seriously ill over Christmas. How did you experience God in that situation? Because she's here and it's wonderful to have you here again. Yes, let's keep clapping.
So just a wee bit of background. I mean, Susan was in hospital. She'd had a reasonably urgent operation, but she was actually coming through with a few hiccups. She was coming good. And we were looking forward to her to coming home within a few days. And then one night I got a call from the hospital doctor to say there's been a very significant deterioration. I needed to get in there sort of urgently. So I went in and the doctors were pretty pessimistic. Look, she's not going to pull through here. They did an operation to try and save her and then said, oh, actually, she was a bit better than what we thought. And I said, oh, okay, so we're off the hook. And they said, no, call the family, get them into Christchurch. You know, this is very touch and go. So I went home about 6 o'clock that morning after having virtually no sleep. A lady from across the road was doing her very early gardening, which she sometimes does at the weekend. And kind of unfortunately, she called me over and said, oh, how's your wife? Knowing that she was in hospital. And I kind of, I lost it a wee bit, to be honest. And then sort of went inside and thought, I need to get it together. I've got family flying in starting that day. I've got children, grandchildren, everything. And then I felt like it's like God say, do your quiet time and I'll talk to you, your normal quiet time. So I did, and it was Psalm 141. I started reading it. It was a very short psalm, only 10 verses. And I got about halfway through, and there was nothing relevant here. And then I got to verse 8 and read this. My eyes are fixed on you, Sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. And I kind of thought, wow. That sort of hit me between the eyes. I thought, right, God, you are speaking. I believe she is going to pull through. But also, in you I take refuge. I thought, actually, I think prayer is important and need to take refuge in God. So I sat down and flicked out an email to home group, to Neil and Kay and the prayer team, and just sort of said, please pray, and very much felt supported by church and other Christian friends.
Yeah. We praise God because of that, and we thank him. Thank you for the story. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. I'm going to invite another Portuguese speaker, so not from Portugal, but from Brazil. Lydiane, could you please come up? Now, when I first asked Lydiane, she said, no, I don't think so, because my English isn't so good, and I've assured her that mine isn't so good either. Take a seat. Thank you. Again, one of the joys of my job is I get to spend some extra time with people as we talk about their stories. And so I've had the absolute joy of spending a little bit more time with you this week and getting to know you and getting to know God a little bit more through somebody else's story. So, what would you like to share with us today? Would you like to share with us one of the key moments of your faith journey and where God has really moved in your life?
Yes. well, I think first I want to introduce myself a little bit more. My name is Lydiane. I am from Brazil. I am now 35 years old. I'm married with Vini. He's also from Brazil. We've been married for 13 years now. And I am mom of Olivia and Luisa. Olivia is 3 years old and Luisa is 6 months old. So my story, I want to start my story from the date I moved from Brazil to New Zealand. I think it's a good start point. Yeah. So I want to say sorry because I don't speak English very well, but I hope maybe you could understand some the important things. So we moved to New Zealand in 2015, so be 10 years ago. And was only me and Vinny at this time. So we were working here and studying us a little bit because we just come with a little bit of English, so we start studying a little bit. And so after, I think it was my fourth year here in New Zealand, I was having a hard time in my workplaces. I was suffering with bullying with my colleagues.
So bullying, yep.
Yes. And I was having negative thoughts about myself, about like questions about my life, what it would be here if, you know, with all these bad things. But I was still enjoying New Zealand. But so I said I was studying English. I was having English lessons with a person from New Zealand. Her name is Anna. She lived in Brazil before, so she was able to speak in Portuguese with me as well. I was going to her classes. We become friends. She was a nice person. She was very good to me. And she not said that I was not very well inside, because sometimes you cannot see from outside, but she was able to see a little bit more of me. And she offered to help me. She was trained with us like a technique of therapy, a kind of therapy. The name was tapping. So she offered to help me with tapping and talking, because that's what it was looking like for me, like a talking with a friend. So we starting having time together one time per week, and she's starting working in these negative thoughts about myself, these negative feelings, emotions that I was having at that moment. But when we starting walking, because that's what I was seeing, like a walking, I was walking with her through these things. We started walking to my past. So my past, negative feelings, negative emotions, negative thoughts. And she helped me with a lot of little things during this walking. And every week was different. She was always praying for me as well, before we starting the therapy talking. And so I was always feeling God in these moments. And then I think it was on one of my last encounters with her. I end up in a moment of my past where I was seeing a closed door. And I was very comfortable talking with her about all these things that was just hiding with inside me. I was not sharing with anybody, but I was able to share with her. But when I arrived at this point, I was afraid because I was not sure if I should open this door again. Before I moved to New Zealand, 1 year before, I'd been baptized. I knew I was saved, I was forgiven. And I started walking with God, but this place was just closed inside my heart. Was not like, I was not thinking more about this, but at this day, I went to this place again. And a voice inside me was telling me to go in there, but I was afraid. But the voice was saying, be courageous, be strong, and you have a value, that what it was saying. And it was repeating in my mind for a long time. But was the end of my therapy with Anna. I went to my house, and then I think the next day I was going to work. I was a meat worker, so you can imagine the place. And I was having the problem with my colleagues, so it was a hard place to be for me. So, but I was always using my time there to keeping to myself and talk with God, praying and thinking about my talking with my friend. And so I was back in this door. I was floating this door. And then with that voice, I had the courage to open the door. And for my surprise, there was Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was not seeing him, but his light was there. Mm-hmm. This door, inside of this door, was my darkest place of my life. This was shut when I received Jesus. Was shut, but was still there. But at this time was different because I was not seeing my darkness anymore. I was seeing his light over my life. Mm. And this part of my life was not accepting. I accepted Jesus, but this part was like this. I want to take this off. I don't want this as a part of my life with Jesus. But he showed me that this story would bring glory to him. So I could accept it. He showed me that he was cleansed me. I was cleaned by water, by fire. He showed me all the things that he saved me from. He saved me from a bad future of him. So it was a very important moment in my life. I was feeling very close to God at this moment. I never forgot, never, the darkest place of my life in my heart becomes the brightest.
So it's that, where can I go from your presence?
Yes.
Yeah. Even those darkest places.
You are there.
You are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard a little bit of a clap. Mm-hmm. You can give God a clap. Yep. And then one more question. And that is, next week we're going to be doing something special, aren't we?
Yes.
What are we going to be doing next week?
I'll be dedicating my daughters.
Okay, so Louisa and Olivia will be dedicated. But that is pretty special, the fact that they are here. Would you like to share a little bit around that?
that's another big story that I need to share. As I said, I'm married with Vinny for 13 years now, and I always dreamed about being a mom. It was always in my dream, but I had some health problem. The name I can was infertility problem that made my chance of being pregnant very a bit low, I would say. But I was still having hope at this since the beginning that one day God would make this dream come true. And another thing, my husband, he always thought at this moment when we arrived to New Zealand, you know, our beginning here, was not the right time to have a baby. Was not a good time. And now I can understand him. But when you have a dream, you know. So my chance, again, was very little to be a mom pregnant, being pregnant at this time. But I was still hoping, and I confess that for many times I thought I was pregnant, but the test was always negative. So my faith was like going up and down, up and down. And it was not easy. It was very hard for me. And I was in a point one day that was like my end. I was tired of crying. I was seeing all my friends starting their families, having baby, and I was happy with them, but I was sad for me. This day, this night actually, I went to my bedroom and I did a prayer for God. I was very honest. I said, God, I'm tired. I believe you are good God. You can make this dream come true, even with a low chance. But I'm tired. Lord, I accept that if this is not your plan for me, being a mom, I accept because I know you are good. You have a good plan for my life. But if this dream is part of your plan for me, I just want to know, because then are you hold this for me and I trust you, because I knew that one day could be one in 1 year, in 2, 3, 5, 10, 15 years, or even more, one day I would be a mom. So that was my prayer. I went to bed, and then the next day I was going to work. Was another place, not the place that I said before. It was a factory in my street. So it was 5:45 in the morning. It was very early. I went out of my house, and when I went out, I opened my eyes and I saw a big rainbow in front of my house. Like I was almost, I was almost over me. Like, and at this point, I knew God had a promise for me that one day I would be a mom. So it was a very special moment for me. Never, never forgot. My daughter, she's 3 years old. She already hear this story many times. And so from that moment, my heart was in peace. I was happy. I could enjoy life a bit more. And I just trusted God, and I wait for his perfect time. So 4 years later, I don't want to forget anything. I'm just checking. Yeah. 4 years later, for my surprise, my husband said that it was time to have a baby. So then it was so good to see, because I thought in my little faith that God would be giving my promise, even if my husband never say like, okay, it's the right time to have a baby. So, but he's a good God. He was waiting and working in my husband's heart. And when he said yes, I think God was like just waiting for that, because in the next month I was pregnant. I was pregnant with Olivia. And a little detail, my rainbow, the day I saw my rainbow, I say because very special for me, was 7th of December of 2016. 7th of December of 2020, I was confirming that I was pregnant with Olivia. So, just a nice detail. And so when I had this, I don't know if you had that photo.
No, I'll leave fine. For the dedication.
Got okay. So just I will leave for the dedication, the detail. When I had the confirmation of a pregnancy, one thing that God showed to my heart was that the waiting process was nothing comparing to the big glory of God when I received his promise to me, to my life. And so only then the next thing, because it doesn't end here, for my surprise. Olivia was 2 years old, almost two. I went to Brazil. It was my last days there before I returned to New Zealand. I was having some pain, abdominal pain, that made me a bit worried, because I was alone, traveling alone with her. So I went to the doctor and asked for an ultrasound. And because I was thinking it was related to my health problem. I can say what it is, because not a problem for me. I had ovary polycystic for years, since I was very young. I knew that. So another thing, I was always feeding myself sometimes in my bad moments with the thought that I never be able to be a mom. Like, kind of, I was infertile. Yep. Is that right? Infertile? But God is good. I did this ultrasound, and for my surprise, during I was waiting for 2 days until the results come back. During these 2 days, the pain was gone. But when I took the result, was no cyst. My ovaries were clear and normal. So for my surprise, God did the miracle of giving me my daughter, and healed my body as well.
It's a healing.
Yes. So, a few months later, I was pregnant with Louisa, my second daughter. She was our giftie. She just come as like a little cherry.
On top.
On top of our cake.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes, thank you.
It's very hard. As you have heard and seen from our littlies, it's very hard to be up here. And when English is your second language, it's very hard as well. I'm going to hand over now.
Kia ora, morena. My name is Steve. You've met Neil, who's the eldest of the elders. I'm the youngest of the elders. We're continuing our journey with I've been meaning to ask, and we're looking at the question, what do you need? And I want to thank you to Stuart and to Terry and to Lidiana. For your vulnerability this morning and allowing us into that space, because that's a massive privilege. So thank you for that. And to all of the other people that have shared some of their journey on this stage this year. And I look forward to hearing that as we go through this year. So just before I start, I just want to pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and to me. Amen. We're looking at, I've been meaning to ask, and what do you need? Now, maybe you've had this moment, much like a couple of people have shared this morning, either a phone call, or maybe a letter in the mail, or maybe a call into your boss's office, or a knock at the door. But this moment when the bottom just drops out. Man, not even a minute in. And you start to feel that loss of breath, and just your heart starts racing and your palms are sweaty. And that moment, okay, we're going to explore that a little bit this morning. I've called it what to do when the story gets heavy. So we've heard some of these stories this morning. And some of them this morning have been pretty heavy. Maybe you've had moments like Lillian has shared with kind of infertility or miscarriages. Maybe it's been calls from the doctor to say that a loved one's unwell. Maybe it's a phone call to say that somebody's had an accident. All of these kind of things. And it's easy for us as Christians to grab onto the myth that sometimes circulates around the faith, that we live in this protective bubble where we travel through this life and suffering doesn't touch us, that we are somehow above and beyond that. That's not true. It doesn't take much to open the scriptures to see that's not true. Virtually every single person that you encounter in the scripture knows darkness, knows pain and suffering. Job, Abraham, Sarah, Hannah, David, Jesus, Paul, Stephen, Jeremiah, Moses, and on and on and on. So suffering is not something unexpected. It's not the exception. It's part of this life. It's the rule. And we're going to spend some time just briefly looking at Job. And we already heard this passage this morning. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, tore their robes, and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word because they saw how great his suffering was. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Job, the bottom fell out in a big way. Very quickly, he lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his resources, his way of making a living. He lost his living. He lost his house. Everything fell out. Okay? And these three friends, they see this, they hear of this, and they come together. Now, it's easy when you read through the journey of Job to be critical of his friends. That's quite often what we do as Christians when we journey through Job, because they do offer some pretty bad advice. But right here, they've got it right, because they see him from a distance and they acknowledge his pain and suffering and they enter into it. They sit with him in his darkness for 7 days, not talking. So today, I want to look at what do we need when the story gets heavy. Or maybe another way of putting it is what not to do and what to do when the story gets heavy. Now, personal disclaimer, I'm here as well, right? I don't have the answers. I've made a lot of mistakes in this area, and I will continue to make mistakes in this area, because I'm a human. And I can think of at least half a dozen of these moments in my own life, sometimes as a father, sometimes as a husband, sometimes as a son, as an employer, as a ministry worker, many different times when I've felt these moments. So what are some of the things that we can do that are not helpful? One of them is denying the problem or making it smaller. And this is something that we easily do. We take the person and we say, you're okay, or it's fine. And that might feel like the right thing to say, but is that person fine? Is that person okay? Maybe not. So before, and some of these things are really important, some of these things are things that we should be doing, but before we get to that moment, we need to sit in the darkness. We need to offer our presence before we come with that. Sometimes it's easy, and I'm a guy, in case it's not obvious, we jump straight to those solutions. This is what guys do, right? They have this problem, and we've already got our list of things that you need to do to solve your problem. All right, we'll fix it, because that's what we've been brought up to do. So we jump straight to these solutions. We say, if you just do this, this, and this, or I can do this and this, and then we'll be able to solve the problem. But again, not the right place, not the right time. You're not there to ride in on your white horse and save the day. That's not your job. We start to place blame, whether that's on the person that's suffering or somebody else in the situation or God or whatever. We start to place the blame. And I don't know if you've got people like this, but when you share your suffering with them, they have a way of turning it around and making it about them. And you say, oh, we've just had this medical diagnosis and one of our children is going through this, and they automatically go straight to, oh, well, this happened to me and this happened to me. It's not about you. It's not about you. And so there's a real danger there, and it's real easy to do. As I said, I've done that. And jumping straight to the silver lining, jumping straight back to those verses that Colleen spoke about being able to have those verses, but sometimes have them out of context. And I'm sure you know those verses, the ones that people throw at you when you're in this pain and suffering. And they're good. They're part of Scripture. But there's a time and a place. And so what can we do? We can acknowledge the darkness. We can sit with the person and we can offer our presence. So before we jump to trying to change the perspective, because that's what we're doing with all these things, right? We're trying to change the perspective. We're trying to help the person to see the big picture. But before we jump to trying to change the perspective, we need to offer our presence. We need to sit in the darkness, maybe for 7 days and 7 nights, in silence. But we also are a people of light. Amen? We're a people of hope. And we have a God that is bigger than our circumstances. We have a God that can deal with our baggage. So we can acknowledge the light in this situation as well. We can come in here and say, God is here. God is, as Lydian was saying, God is here behind this door. In my darkest place, God is there. And so we can come in, and if you are going through that, if you're suffering, then there is a reminder here that God is here. God is with you. He promises that in the scriptures, that his presence is with us and will be with us, even when it may not feel like God is with us. And that's one thing that we can do as a support person, is come alongside and remind the person, I am here and God is here. And we can bring that reminder that God is bigger than our circumstances. God can deal with our circumstances. He has already dealt with our circumstances. Amen? And that we have a living hope. We have a future hope. Now, as I was reflecting on this sermon, sitting in the prayer room, and I saw on the wall of the prayer room this verse, Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. So that perspective change is important, realizing that our present sufferings are nothing compared to the future glory. But, as I said, time and place, sitting in that darkness with that person, being present in that moment, being patient, being silent. Now, I just want to lead us to the table. We have communion tables at the two sides there and then at the front here as well. And as we were reminded by Dan earlier that we have, do I need to change room here? So we remembered from Dan earlier that Easter camp's about 9 weeks ago, 9 weeks to go. And at Easter time, right, we have a God who suffered. This table would not be possible without a God who suffers. This is a symbol of my body broken for you. This is a symbol of my blood poured out for you. Now, that doesn't happen without pain and suffering. Jesus knew betrayal. He knew torture. He knew darkness. He knew death. He knew abandonment. Jesus has been through that. And as we are welcomed to this table this morning, if you are one of the people that is suffering, and if the bottom has fallen out, maybe this week, maybe a while ago, but if the bottom, maybe it's falling out today, I don't know. But if you are one of those people in that situation, as you come to the table, my prayer is that you may know that you are not alone. That God is with you, and we are with you. You have a family. Sorry, do I need to switch mics or something? All right. So, you know, you have a family. So if that is you this morning, as you come to the table, may you be reminded that you are part of a family that has your back. You have a God that knows suffering. You have a God that knows darkness and abandonment. Whatever you are experiencing, God is bigger than those circumstances. If you are somebody that is supporting somebody who is suffering, and that's really heavy as well, may you know wisdom. May you know when to be quiet and when to speak up. May you, the burden of solving the problems be lifted from you. To realize that your role is your presence and your patience. And if you're not supporting or suffering, may you count your blessings as you come to the table. And maybe reflect on those times when you have. And in hindsight, we can look back and we can see God's hand in those moments.
So we're going to have a song playing, I believe. And I welcome you to come to the table and reflect on that. Reflect on the God who entered into suffering, who didn't step away, who didn't back down, and embraced it and experienced it and walked through it. Amen?